Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, and the General John McClain is brought to you by HornSolutions.net. So, John, Bill O'Brien's name is picking up a bunch of steam in the college coaching circles. Where is Bill O'Brien? If you had to make a prediction, where is Bill O'Brien plying his trade in 2022?
Well, my prediction would be in Alabama, because why would a – well, first of all, when Bill came here, he told me he liked coaching NFL so much better in colleges. It was just two totally different situations. Now, he had stepped into the worst situation in college football history, and so that was all he knew as a head coach. He had coached at Georgia Tech and Duke and Maryland, but being a head coach there, I think, kind of soured him on it. And I don't see an NFL team right now hiring him, because the GM would be like, whoa, he's going to come in here and try to get control of personnel. So maybe Bill needs to go to a college where he can and can control everything.
Yeah.
And LSU, the head football coach at LSU, is the most powerful person in the state, even more so than the governor. And Bill, the farthest, like, I never thought when his name was mentioned to USC that he'd be a candidate. You know, he's not a West Coast guy. He's an East Coast guy. This is the farthest west he's ever been. But I could see, since he's at Alabama, him going to LSU. And there may not be these kind of jobs open in another year.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's holding out for an NFL job. When Bill interviews, he'll do a great job in his interview. He is a very impressive talker. He can talk about his divisions, the development of Deshaun Watson and the offense. And then if they say, well, about those trades.
Right. And he can say, well, I can't trade guys in college.
Right.
I can go, yeah, I can sign guys out of the transfer portal. Well, you weren't very good in free agency either, Bill. So, yeah.
Well, that's where I wonder, John, I'm glad you mentioned that he's really good in person, because I think a lot of people would agree with that. And I think his ability as a recruiter might surprise a lot of people. Oh, and, yeah, and one of the best recruiting jobs he ever did was convincing all those upperclassmen at Penn State to stay when they had free license to transfer anywhere they wanted. He got a bunch of guys to stick around, you know, and I do think he's got a certain charisma about him that I could see working really well in a parent's living room.
I agree. I think he would be good for recruiting. I think he could hire good coaches. And if a school were looking for a coach, say a disciplinarian, say they thought a lot of the players were run amok under the previous regime, there are a lot of guys left to go to the transfer portal to other schools, would they be interested in Bill, because Bill is a disciplinarian? So I think he's going to have chances. The key is, what does he want, where does he want, and is he holding out for the NFL? As long as Bryce Young is there, which will be two more years, he's going to have a great offense there.
Have you talked to anybody that's got a finger on the pulse of how people in Alabama feel about him right now?
I haven't, because people in Alabama, well, the fans are mad because he hasn't done a good job running the ball. Goes back to the A&M game. You know, Bryce Young just has the greatest game in Alabama history, and they drop a spot, didn't they, from two
they
to
did.
Three?
Yeah, yeah, they're from 560 yards.
I think they have so much confidence in Saban and so much in the talent, which is amazing, great receivers again. But sometimes you got to strike when iron's hot, but I think it's always going to be hot. Doug Marrone is there as well, O'Brien's best friend. Both of them are trying to resurrect their careers as head coaches.
John McClain, brought to you by HornSolutions.net. John, are you glad to be able to just kind of sit back this year on Thanksgiving and not go watch the Lions and the Lions and the Texans, which Seth pointed out is, little did we know that last year was a preview of the battle for the number one overall pick in the draft.
The game last year, and I'm writing about this for tomorrow, about this being one of the worst weekends I can remember for Thanksgiving games, because all the teams are coming off losses. Yeah. And the Bears playing the Lions, one of the worst games in history. Last year, even though the Lions and the Texans were bad, you had Matthew Stafford and Deshaun Watson, and they put on a show, and especially Watson put on a great show for the national TV audience. And so this one, you know, Cowboys will always draw. The Lions being so bad again has resurrected the talk. Get this game out of Detroit. Send it somewhere else. Lamar Hunt was really pushing for that. Before he died, to appease him, they moved it. They added the night game in 2006. When the AFL was here, they had multiple games on Thanksgiving. Oilers played the Chiefs on Thanksgiving. And then the NFL used to play games on Thanksgiving because they had a better chance of drawing back in the old days. on Thanksgiving for some reason than they did on Sundays. So the history of this game, these games are interesting. And there have actually been a few exciting games with the Lions on Thanksgiving since 1934, just a few.
So John, the way you said the Lamar Hunt's dying wish was to have that game opened up, I've got this vision of them like coming to him on his deathbed and them saying, "Listen, we couldn't give you exactly what you wanted, but we're going to do a Sunday night game." And then he dies half smiling.
A lot of people.
Was it as dramatic as that?
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people agree about the Lions, but they were the first team that really wanted to do it all the time. Cowboys started in 66. A couple years they didn't host it. They let the Cardinals host it in the 70s because Eric Coryell was so exciting and because the Cardinals were having trouble drawing at that time, even though they were good. And then it went back to the Cowboys. And at that point, they wanted a team to do the late game, and the Cowboys said they would do it if, indeed, they were given a contract to do it forever, and which turns out to be smart because – and we're all going to watch it just because
sure.
It's all we got. And the Cowboys, now they're still exciting. And the last game with the Bills and Saints, you know, you think, man, that looked like such a good game a few weeks ago.
It did. Do players like playing in these Thanksgiving games, John?
They don't like the short turnaround, but they just like all Thursday games. Nobody likes it. But because, like in Detroit, it's such a tradition. The two times the Texans have played in Detroit, quarterbacks played great. Matt Schaub was fabulous. The Justin Forsett touchdown, it shouldn't have counted.
Yeah.
Jim Schwartz throwing an illegal challenge flag. And Schaub and Andre Johnson putting on a show. Both quarterbacks did. Yeah. But the Texans have been exciting in their two games there, and it's a good thing they're not playing this year.
That was the stretch of football that broke Matt Schaub because they'd gone five quarters with Jacksonville that Sunday, yep. Right? And then they went five quarters with the Lions on Thursday, on Thanksgiving. Schaub had a couple of incredible passing performances and then never played well again.
Well,
there's been some big things on Thanksgiving. And the one that I think about the most, maybe it's because I'm in Texas and I was a Cowboys fan in 1974 when Roger Staubach had to come out and they put in Clint Longley. They're down to the Redskins. He throws two long touchdown passes, gets the nickname the Mad Bomber. That's the one that stands out to me the most.
Well, that Detroit game too, Seth and John, that was the junk kick heard around the world. Ndamukong Suh.
Oh, that's right.
Scored two.
Yeah, kicking Matt Schaub in the junk. And then Schaub, after the game, saying what? Ndamukong Suh, not Texans worthy.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, that was something.
Downhill from there.
A phrase we wish we'd never heard. Yeah. A phrase that's been used ironically about on a 400-to-1 ratio with how often it's used seriously.
My daughter did an interview, a video interview for her cross country team at college that went up on YouTube. I think I sent it to you yesterday, Seth, with the text following it. Like, I'm mad at her. She mentioned culture twice in the video. So, sweetie. You got to get that word out of your vernacular.
It's fine. It's fine to talk about culture. Sometimes I was talking to Vandermeer. It
triggers your dad, sweetie.
Vandermeer a couple years ago said, "Well, you're anti-motivational speaker." And I'm like, no, I'm not. I really like motivational speakers. I don't like acting like the motivational speaker is the end-all, be-all. Like, mm-hmm. It's a nice little compliment to the mix.
Right.
But guys like Jack Easterby really should be in a consulting role as on a part-time basis more than anything else. Culture is awesome to talk about, but only as an appendage to, like, the actual real work.
Yes.
Like, the actual getting stuff done.
John McClain's in studio with us. Seth, and I know you've got a take on this as well. The Patriots had some interesting takes coming out of their press conferences yesterday. Had nothing to do with football, but it had everything to do with Thanksgiving feasts. Mac Jones said he doesn't like pie. Seth, I
of
know
any
you've,
kind.
Of any kind, yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right.
It's probably good, though.
Yeah.
What's that?
Probably good. Maybe he's a health fanatic.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, it's probably good. Then, I saw a phrase the other day that I liked. Somebody said, describing another person. He said he's got the jowls of a pie eater, which I guess, I mean, we're all pie eaters, aren't we? Except for Mac Jones,
apparently. Yeah, evidently he doesn't like pie. Here was Matt Judon, their edge rusher. Here was Matt Judon's take on what a lot of people view as a Thanksgiving Day staple.
All right, well, I'm not even going to answer your question. I'm going to tell you, we got to get macaroni and cheese off the table. All right, guys. It's just cheese and noodles. All right, I'm going up. I'm getting on my soap opera. It's just cheese and noodles, and it's not that good. Let's be honest, guys. Everybody's probably here. It's a little lactose, so it messes up our stomachs. And we got to get it off the table. It's probably one of the most overrated dishes. But my favorite is dressing. I do love dressing. So, but get a macaroni and cheese off the table, and it'd be a much better Thanksgiving for everybody in the house.
All right, John, your assessment of Matt Judon's take on macaroni and cheese.
Well, I think when he said he's getting up on his soap opera, he meant his soap box.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And, yeah, get up on my soap opera.
I feel like you lost credibility after that.
I love macaroni and cheese, but I've never had it on Thanksgiving. Too many other things on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that was my, and Seth, I don't know, is macaroni and cheese part of your Thanksgiving Day spread?
I wouldn't be offended to it. The whole thing, you know, the crazy thing about a Thanksgiving table is that you're not obligated to eat everything.
Right.
The presence of macaroni and cheese, I guess where he might be upset is like, okay, look, I do want to eat everything, and that's not one of the things I actually like. Sounds pretty selfish to me. That's a crowd pleaser, macaroni and cheese. And it's a comfort food. A lot of the stuff on Thanksgiving is comfort food.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't give a damn what anybody eats for anything ever. As long as they also do enjoy pie. If they don't like pie,
yeah,
I don't
you're mad about the pie. You are angry about
pumpkin
that.
Pie.
I feel like Mac Jones hasn't tried pie.
Yeah.
Like how do you not like pie? I don't get it. Or he hasn't tried enough types of pie. Or maybe this is where I should lay off. I don't, maybe he was abused by pie somehow growing up. His older brother shoved it in his face or something.
American pie.
I like that too.
I do think pumpkin pie is a little overrated. Not to go all Matt Judon and everything, but
we
I
have pumpkin and pecan both.
Okay, you got them both. John? Give us the layout. What's your ideal Thanksgiving Day plate look like? What's your go to?
Whatever Carol puts out there, she starts with stuffed celery with cream cheese, olives. She works up to, let's see, turkey.
You get a little
dressing,
greenery in there. That's good.
Gravy.
Yeah.
Green bean casserole, mashed potatoes with green peas on them, and then she makes sweet potatoes for her too, which I don't care about on Thanksgiving. And she has rolls, and she has two pies.
Okay, how many plates, John?
Two
plates. Okay, yep. How many naps?
One. Usually, I try to time it on the games, but I'll fall asleep during all of them.
What's the over under? If I put the over, well, what time do you eat?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. Okay, so if I put the over under at halftime of the Cowboys game.
I might still be eating.
Okay.
So I'd probably be right after the Cowboys game.
Okay, so if I put the over-under at kickoff of the late game, the under is the play.
It would be the under,
okay,
definitely.
The under is a play. What about you, Seth? What's your go-to plate look like at Thanksgiving?
A turkey if it's fried. If it's not fried, then I throw it out the window because it's trash. It's the driest meat on earth. Like if I don't have my turkey's either got to be, it's either got to be fried or it's got to be in cold cut form.
Interesting.
Other than that, I'm not eating.
Interesting.
Normal
turkey. Do you fry your own turkeys?
No, I don't. So only if I'm at a place where people eat it. So I don't. Basically, like I'm going to be at my aunt's house. I'm not going to. She's my sister-in-law. She's my kid's aunt. She doesn't deep fry her turkey. So no, I will not be eating.
So you go turkeyless on Thanksgiving if it's not fried.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's my right as an American.
No, I'm not.
It's kind of like going pieless.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
No, we have a lot of pies. So there's like 10 different types of pies. But I hate ham. I feel like ham is a good enough substitute for turkey. It's almost right up there, right, on traditional Thanksgiving fare.
Yeah, it is. I do feel like Thanksgiving, like I feel like the turkey gets Thanksgiving to itself,
yes.
Though. I feel like John feels strongly
about
it.
We eat ham for Christmas.
Yeah.
John, did you grow up calling it dressing or stuffing?
Dressing. I've never heard it stuffing till I got down here.
Interesting.
Oh, to you? Oh, really? That's where. And I wonder about that because it's usually. I guess it's along mostly north and south lines. Like more people up north call it stuffing. More people down south call it dressing.
Right.
But then there's people. There are people in like little pockets. The most annoying thing about it, though, is that everybody will claim that wherever they're from is like that's actually the way it's supposed to be called. But there's pockets in the South that call it stuffing, I guess.
I don't care where it's from, as long as I get to eat it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Tastes the same. Whatever you, a rose by any other name smells just as sweet. Yeah. Absolutely. John McClain in studio with us, brought to you by hornsolutions.net. John, what's going on in the Chronicle this week?
I've got a column going tomorrow about the Thursday games and this lineup with all the teams coming off losses and resurrecting the talk to move the game to other cities from Detroit. And I'm writing about the Texans and Oilers' best games they had on Thanksgiving.
Real quick, I have a wager on the Texans over 4 wins this year. I was feeling really bad about it 2 weeks ago. This win over the Titans has changed the actual math on it, and obviously my emotional math on the whole thing. Do you think they get 2 more wins this year? Can I at least get a push on this ticket?
I think they get to. I picked them 5-12 in the Chronicle, but that's because I thought Vrabel would rest the starters.
And he may.
And he may, because it won't matter because they've already got their place solidified. So if that happens, I think they could beat them again and win 5. Otherwise, I just think it'll be 4.
4. Okay, I'll take 4. The way it was looking a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I would have taken a push. So you think they beat the Jets this weekend?
And I think there's a good chance they beat the Jaguars, because Jaguars' offense has been terrible.
Yeah, they're trash right now. John, we appreciate the time as always. Happy Thanksgiving to you and Carol.
Hey, thank you very much, Sean and Seth. You guys have a great Thursday, and I look forward to talking to you on Sunday.
We definitely will. We definitely will. Yeah, we look forward to talking. Yes, on Sunday we will talk to John on Texans Countdown. That starts at 9 o'clock. John joins us in the 11 o'clock hour on the pregame show. Kickoff at noon, Jets and the Texans. All right, up next, we head into the 9 o'clock hour. There is an odds board out. Does this odds board give us optimism on the Astros retaining Carlos Correa? That is next.